Like to welcome to the Coach's Edge podcast the doctor, not Dr. J, not Dr. Jekyll, Dr. Brandon Bensing to the Coach's Edge podcast. And this is the man who fixed me up this spring. And I'm excited to have him on the podcast this fall. So, Brandon, first and foremost, thanks for letting me be your patient this past spring. I appreciate all your great insight. And why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners and let's dig into it.
Well, thanks, Stephen, for having me on the podcast. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure working with you throughout the last couple of months and, you know, getting your body right for the summer camps. I'll just go a little bit more on my background. I currently work at Par Physical Therapy in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We're a general orthopedics outpatient clinic where, you know, we deal with a variety of different patients. If it's musculoskeletal issues, if we're dealing with high school athletes, you know, and just your general person that comes in with a, you know, aches and pains. So I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. I did my undergrad at Slippery Rock University. Luckily there, they have a 3+3 program where I got my bachelor's of science in exercise science and then went in to get my doctorate in physical therapy before making the transition down to Myrtle Beach. I did some clinical rotations in Wilmington, love that area as well. And, you know, my family was in Myrtle Beach. My sisters live down here. My parents moved down. So just really easy transition for me and really love where I'm at right now. You know, a couple other things that I do and enjoy, like playing golf, like working out. Played some basketball before I got injured in May.
We'll get into that.
Which we'll talk about that a little bit more and kind of my rehab process and kind of how I go through, you know, how I'm trying to rehab my body currently. You know, I hold some different certifications and a variety of different things that, you know, help me to, you know, look at a patient a little bit differently to get them back to what they need to do. You know, before I graduated in 2019 from Slippery Rock, I got my USA weightlifting level 1 certification. And, you know, kind of a little bit of back about that, just more of your Olympic liftings, your snatch, your clean and jerk, you know, a lot of these different, you know, movements that require a lot of, you know, muscle activation and things like that through the body. As I started working, you know, I got my trigger point dry needling certification in Raleigh, my first year of clinical experience. And I know Stephen's really, really excited to talk a little bit more about the dry needling. He was a big fan of it. but, you know, other than that, you know, when I transitioned, I worked for 2 years down in Myrtle Beach at, you know, more of a corporate owned PT clinic, and, you know, really decided that, hey, I want to branch out a little bit. You know, met Chris Garavito and the team over there at Par Physical Therapy. They welcomed me with open arms, and, you know, I've learned a lot from them. He's been a great mentor for me. And, you know, I learned this different technique where it's more of an osteopathic technique, very similar to chiropractic, but, you know, a lot lighter, a lot less aggressive, where, you know, our end goal was to, you know, get your body feeling the best that it can. And so I learned that technique in 2011 or 2021. And then I just got my Titleist Performance Institute level 1 certification this past early spring. And then going into the summertime, I've been kind of able to utilize that as well. And that's more towards golf performance. If anyone knows down in Myrtle Beach, there's 100 plus courses in the Grand Strand area. So it's been good to kind of help with different golfers and things like that. You know, it's something I enjoy and, you know, so on and so forth. So yeah, that's a little bit about me to get started.
Yeah. So I met Brandon through my wife who had some physical therapy done on her leg and her knee. She wanted me to tell you that, hey, she's been doing she's still doing her leg exercises, which are going well. And, you know, we'll dig into his injury and my injury later on in the podcast, but, give us a little bit of, you know, this is why I love the Coach's Edge podcast. I mean, we've had NBA championship coach, Kevin Eastman was on here. We've had Dan Hughes, who won 2 WNBA championships. We've had college coaches, high school coaches, professional international coaches, players, skill development coaches, strength and conditioning, personal trainers, but you're the first physical therapist on the podcast. But we're just trying to get like a real variety of professionals in many different areas so that they can help the coaches that listen to this podcast work with their players in many different ways. And so I'm excited to dig in how we can reduce injury, get the most out of our athletes, throughout the course of, you know, what's a long basketball season. You talk about the off season as well, but tell us a little bit about your background as an athlete, because that played a role in you going into this occupation, correct?
Yeah. You know, I played a lot of high school sports. I wasn't fortunate enough to play in college, but I was a 4-year letterman in basketball. I played 3 years of varsity football, which actually got me into physical therapy because of an injury. When I was in my senior year, halfway through my senior year of football, I ended up having a left meniscal injury. Went to some chiropractic work, was helping, but it wasn't really giving me that kind of end goal of getting back onto the field 100%. You know, dove into a little bit of physical therapy. The therapist at the time, you know, he really helped me out, you know, catered to my needs. As I was going through my high school years, I fell in love with working out. We did a lot of weight training in the off season with football, basketball, things like that. Fell in love with, you know, just the capacity of how my body could respond to a lot of exercise. So, you know, that was a big thing that, you know, I wanted to dive into and work with people, getting them back to whatever, you know, love, hobby, recreational activity, even if it was something work related, you know, hey, let's make this a little bit easier for you and, you know, get back to your best ability as far as doing that, you know. And, you know, for me, sports has always been a huge thing. I mean, you know, when you were in the clinic with me, I mean, we're talking basketball every single time, you know. Football season's, you know, now, and, you know, every, you know, patient I come in with, we're talking about some type of sports. So, you know, it's really, really fun to talk about, but it's also, every patient's a little bit different. And I think the cool thing about physical therapy is that everyone's going to be a little bit different of a puzzle.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get these mysteries, we get these things that, you know, hey, it's not cookie cutter, you know, one thing that's going to work for maybe you, it's not going to, you know, help that next athlete. So, you know, being on our toes, you know, looking at different things, you know, getting, you know, resources, if it's through, you know, different videos, podcasts, if it's going through continuing ed, you know, I'm always looking to, you know, better myself so that I can get my patients back to whatever they need to get back to doing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I liked you. And I know my wife enjoyed working with you too, is we could tell you're somebody who was not only good at what they do, but they were somebody who wants to continue to get better, which, I mean, those are the type of people that are listening to podcasts like this, right? They're hungry to continue to improve themselves as coaches. And for those coaches that want to reduce injuries among their young athletes, high school, for example, what are some things that come to mind when it comes to injury prevention? And then any tips that you can give us?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to look at gender first, I think, is a big thing. I mean, you know, if we're talking about just sports in general, I mean, you see it a lot with young female athletes. You know, there's a higher incidence of ACLs and, you know, knee injuries and things like that, you know. And, you know, even with you know, kids as they grow up, and I'm seeing a football player right now, and, you know, it's just as they get into these sports, they're a little bit more impactful as they're going through puberty, aging, you know, getting stronger, their bones are developing, their whole body's developing, right? So, you know, it's really interesting for me because I'm able to kind of go through that and start that process even when they're in a teenager. But, you know, hey, if we were a little bit younger, you know, as even in, you know, early teens or even adolescence, you know, getting these, you know, athletes to provide different movement patterns, right? You know, maybe saying like for basketball, for example, like our landing mechanics, right? You know, our knees aren't caving in, okay? Our hips are in a good position, right? We're absorbing that shock through our knees, our ankles, everything like that. So, I mean, you know, when I was going through high school, I felt like, you know, we didn't have that type of guidance. And I think more and more you'll see it, you know, throughout a lot of the high school and youth middle school athletes. I mean, you see a lot of people specializing in one sport or the other. And I think that's good and bad. I mean, you see a lot of people that are very athletic. They do 3 or 4 different sports. And, you know, nowadays you only see them, you know, mastering one. And I think, you know, when we talk about, you know, when they're younger, you know, how can we help develop those muscles the right way without stressing it, you know, to where they're exceeding a certain volume where maybe they do get injured. So, you know, again, at the grand scheme of it and looking back at everything is, hey, how can we help them move differently at a young age so they're firing the right muscles, they're landing the right way, okay, they're jumping the right way. You know, if all of these things are working together as one, they're going to be a better athlete, especially, you know, as they grow, as their muscles get bigger and they get stronger, you know, and they redefine these skills as an athlete.
Yeah, I want to get back to the landing, and we'll dig into some of the movement patterns, which I think are going to be awesome for this episode. But yeah, everybody wants to jump higher. Everybody wants to jump faster, but we don't spend enough time talking about the opposite of those things. Like, if I jump, well, I have to land. If I have to start, I have to stop. So what are some tips that you would give, you know, coaches, a guide to look for when it comes to landing? Because in basketball, I mean, there's not many more sports you're going to play where you're going to jump more than the game of basketball.
Yeah, I think the first thing is screening that athlete early on in the season. You know, I think this should be something that is going on in the off season before, you know, before practice, before conditioning, before these, all these things happen, right? Let's see, what are they predisposed at? Like, are, you know, again, we'll just go with that knee valgus, that inward knee movement, that rotation in their thigh, right? If that's, you know, that's going to be problematic, you know, later on when their muscles fatigued, you know, during the end of the season, as they're getting into the playoffs or a championship or something like that, right? Where we still want them to perform at that high level. So I think the first thing is screening them, right? Understanding like where are they at currently, you know, and then, you know, with a lot of it is, you know, with, I deal with some different athletes right now in high school that are cross country runners. And the big thing I see with them is their unilateral strength, right? They're good, strong, they have strong legs and they have good endurance. But, you know, when you talk about them landing on uneven terrain, you know, they're not pushing off one leg the same as the other, you know? So that's something that I really stress and getting hips stronger, getting their core stronger. You know, when we talk about landing, is that deceleration, like how are they decelerating their body? Right. So I think the big thing is screening that athlete, you know, understanding how they're moving currently and, you know, making a game plan that they're doing consistently, you know, even through the season, you know, if it's specific exercises, if it's different mobility drills, right? It's just depending on, you know, it's patient dependent, it's athlete dependent. But, you know, if we're aware of what's going on, you know, that's going to help us elaborate a little bit more and make it a safer sport for them to entertain and to perform in.
Mm-hmm. What would be an example of an exercise if you wanted to improve, you know, someone's landing mechanics?
Yeah, I mean, I think a great one is just looking at how they're squatting, right? You know, if they squat down and you're seeing, hey, a whole lot of forward trunk lean, if their knee, ankles, and hips aren't in the same alignment, you know, they're compensating, they're putting stress in elsewhere. You know, a lot of the times, you know, I talk with my patients, you know, when we look at people that have knee pain, especially, right? That's that middle joint in between our ankle and our hip. So if that's taking on the stress, we're having pain in our knee, it's probably an issue above or below that segment. So, and then even into the back. And I know that's something I stress, you know, with all my treatment, but, you know, yeah, I think even a squat or even taking even a low, you know, box jump where you're jumping off of that box and landing, you know, looking at that, looking at their movement patterns. Okay. And then testing their strength, right? Is one side stronger than the other, you know? So I think going through all of that, you know, you're going to find some information that, okay, hey, I can start adding some, implementing some exercise, implementing some dynamic movements. If it's unilateral, if it's bilateral, right? We want to challenge them. I think reactive, you know, strength is really important, you know, because right with basketball, sometimes, you know, you go for a rebound, you land on someone's foot, right? We need to be able to accommodate that stress. And if we're already moving in a weird position, you know, it's only going to put us at risk for injury.
So if I've, you know, had my athletes come in, we're performing some type of screen for, preferably I have, you know, a trainer, someone with, you know, more expertise than, you know, I would usually as a head coach. And okay, we see some, you know, some knee valgus that you mentioned, maybe somebody mentioned some pain in the ankle or the knee or whatever that area might be. And so we've kind of looked at it. We've assessed, okay, well, there's an issue here. Then how do we go about that next step of trying to fix something? Is it as much as just like mentioning it and saying, hey, this is the point of emphasis of what we're trying to fix as far as how you're landing, how you're squatting, or is there like a good exercise? Like, boy, I really like this one.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I always try to base it off of like my high school athletes is, you know, an energy leak, you know, mm-hmm. When we're not generating enough force through our body or things are compensating, we're not exceeding that power, that speed that we want. You know, I think the big thing is, you know, like you said, we get that information from the screen. We understand how they're moving. All right. And then it's a consistent program. Like I would say a lot of the times, I mean, you need to be working on this almost daily until it does not become an issue. And, you know, what can happen is, you know, throughout the season, you know, maybe there are multiple sessions where we screen and do these same, you know, we get this objective measure of, hey, they're landing funky, right? Their knee is in a good position, right? This is going to, you know, down the line, create an issue. All right, let's see what's going on. They have strength deficits. Let's work on this, get them on a specific program, consistently work on that for a few months, because when we know our body, you know, it's going to take time to develop strength, especially as a young person. You know, it might take 2 months, 2-3 months to develop that. So, you know, if we take that time and we're consistent with it and we're providing load to the body, we can reassess it later on or before the season and see if that's making a change. And you can do it objectively through a variety of different things, you know, especially if we're talking about athletics or in basketball, you know, a broad jump, a vertical jump, you know, let's test that. Let's see where their leap is, right? You know, and then, hey, we put them on the strengthening where these muscles are weak. They're improving. There's better landing mechanics. They're decelerating better. You know, all of these things are going to help, you know, not only allow them to perform better, but keep them on the court. And that's the big thing.
In basketball, especially, there's, and you mentioned this as you were talking earlier, of, you know, muscles may not be, you know, your right leg may be much stronger than your left leg or vice versa. You know, a lot of athletes are really explosive jumping off their left leg because most of them are right-handed, and that's how we were taught to, you know, do layups as a kid. So kids can really spring up off their left leg and not as many so much off their right leg. And so, I mean, that, and so now that, what do they want to jump off of? Their left leg. And so now they're getting all this wear and tear on the left side that they're not getting on the right side. And then you start to get some of those imbalances. What are some of the things that you recommend so that, you know, we don't get some of the imbalances, which can, yeah, I'm assuming we're more likely to get injured as that starts to happen, especially throughout the course of a long season, correct?
Yeah. And you know, I'll just elaborate a little bit on my recovery with my knee injury. I think the big thing I really worked on was tempo, right? Being able to control that joint in, you know, a duration of time, right? If I'm taking a barbell squat and I'm going down to where I'm in a deep squat position, I'm holding it for a couple seconds, and then I'm exploding out of that. I think then you can even talk about even sport related exercises, right? You know, have them engage that other side a little bit more, you know? And then again, you know, if we're beating up that one side, you know, and creating stress to that side, you know, maybe it's about building that unilateral strength and working on that one side that maybe is a little bit weaker. Now, I think, you know, you always want to contribute it to the game that they're playing. You know, if it's basketball, if it's baseball, if it's softball, if it's cross country, if it's football, whatever the sport is, you want to make it fun for the athlete. And I, you know, as I've been working with a lot of these athletes, you know, from my time, even, you know, when I was in undergrad, the grad school, even to now when I'm working, is, you know, you got to make it consistent. You got to make it fun for them, you know? So, and, you know, if I'm going to go tell someone, hey, we're going to go do squats, you know, it may not be, you know, I don't really want to do that, but okay, hey, let's go do some box jumps. Let's go do some lunges. Let's go do, you know, some dynamic work while you're using the basketball too. You're dribbling with that left hand, you know, getting that a little bit stronger while maybe bouncing on that right leg too, so that you can plan off it. And then you're working that hand-eye coordination. So, you know, it's a variety of different things, and it can be sport related, but at the end of the day is, you know, I always say unilateral control, you know, slowing these exercises down and then developing some of these compound movements that are just going to develop both sides and your core, you know. And when we look at that trunk control, it's really just going to help elaborate and help that landing. It's going to help, you know, absorb that shock, even when our trunk and our core is very strong too.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Let's talk movement mechanics here. I mean, I see this a lot I like to teach a lot of footwork personally with basketball. And we'll work with many players who they're working hard. They're working really hard. But I may see them take 3 or 4 steps when the same thing could have been accomplished with 1 or 2, right? And as an athlete speaking generally, there's a lot of functional movement patterns that are vital for us as athletes, not just basketball related. These translate. So how do we go about incorporating some of these corrective exercises to get our athletes moving better and smoother and ultimately get them more accomplished with less?
Yeah, you know, I think it's about having the right team. You know, I think that's the first and foremost. I mean, you talk about having all these people on the podcast, and I'm thankful I'm the first, you know, physical therapist here, but, you know, it's got to be a team approach. It's got to come from the coaches. It's got to come from the athletic trainers. It's got to come from the PTs they may be seeing, you know, the personal trainers, you know, they all need to communicate and elaborate to, you know, understand, hey, what are they doing at practice? What are they doing outside of practice? And I think that's the big thing. And I know I've had conversations with Carolina Forest down here. I've talked with some of their ATs about, hey, what are we doing? You know, how are we making this athlete better? You know, what are you doing on your end? You know, and I even have conversations with some of the cross country runners I deal with is, hey, what are we doing before and after a race? Like, how are we recovering? What are we doing to, what's our nutrition look like? Which is a huge thing for young athletes is, you know, are we, you know, providing the nutrition that is allowing us to grow and develop and allow these muscles to recover, you know? So again, I think it's a team approach when it comes to it, you know, but at the end of the day, you need people that are skilled. You need people that know how to move the body and understand that, hey, if this isn't the right position, we need to work out of this and be consistent with a game plan that, you know, may be, you know, contributed by a variety of different, you know, providers.
Yeah, I like it. It is, as a basketball coach, that makes perfect sense. Like, you're not, yes, you may be the head coach, you're overseeing the entire program, you're wearing a lot of hats, I get it, but this is a hat that you shouldn't be wearing. You need a, as you said, a team, more than one person. Bring somebody in who's an expert in their field and give them the opportunity to screen, to evaluate, and to give corrective measures to different athletes. I think the performance level and obviously the health of your team and your program for years to come, and obviously a certain basketball season, is going to really pay its dividends. Are there specific movement errors that you see a lot of kids making that, you know, even someone like myself who may not be an expert in there, I could, you know, maybe see in some athletes and try to correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've talked about the knee a lot. I want to kind of elaborate on a few other joints. I think the ankle is definitely one that, you know, definitely needs to be observed and understood. You know, a lot of the times, you know, you can see people, you know, as they develop, you know, a little bit more extra pronation there in their ankles. You know, they're, you know, we see people with flat feet as they get older, you know, so if we have that extra stress on our feet, you know, again, that just works up the chain to the knee, the hip, the back, so on and so forth. You know, again, it's taking a look at that full body, making sure everything's is in right alignment so that we're activating those right muscles so that we're coordinating, you know, everything as well. And I think it's tough. You know, you look at people when you're looking at motor control, you know, at a young athlete, you know, they may not have it, you know, when they're 11, 12, 13 years old, but as they get older, the repetition, you talk about stressing footwork, right? You know, the consistency of doing that, the repetition, you know, is what's going to help develop that movement. But, you know, again, I think it's a full body approach. It's not looking at one joint or the other. It's looking at everything. You know, I think too, it's, you know, it's looking at, you know, potentially their squatting mechanics. Like, are they able to sit down and with their hips? Is the movement pattern coming from their trunk? Is it coming from their hips? Is it coming from their knees? You know, and that's going to tell you a lot of, hey, where is the stress being amplified at, you know? And again, like I said, you know, this can be something that can be implemented at, you know, an early start of, you know, even, you know, elementary school, you know, grade school, you know, type, you know, training camps, or, you know, even sports, like, so even going to at a young age, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, you know, I've been seeing stuff on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, whatever, you know, and people are doing this in PE class. They're going through, you know, hip CARs, which a CAR is a controlled articular rotation, where essentially you're working through that whole plane of movement through just one joint. So you're working that extension, that full end range flexion, that internal external rotation of that hip, you know, and I think as we get better control, you know, not only in the hip, it's going to make the knee align better. It's going to make the ankle align better, you know, So again, it's interesting. It's fun. It's encouraging to see, you know, people stressing this even in a gym class, you know, to say, hey, this is how you should squat. This is how you should move, you know. It's really interesting for sure.
This is great. So we're going to dig into some specific injury aspects and some things that we've done in a moment. But, you know, a couple of examples, like I just think watching a young kid sprint, just say, hey, run. I'm just going to watch. And okay, now try doing it with a basketball. And, you know, the common one that I often see, and you can hear it, is just like, the kids stomping their feet. Sounds like a flipper hitting the floor. It sounds like it hurts, right? You don't even have to look at them and you can tell, and you see, you know, again, I go back to, just because someone's, you know, maybe you're not getting what you want out of them, it's not always because they're not trying, they're not working hard, right? Maybe they just haven't been taught how to do it more effectively. And, you know, I just think sprinting is a common one where kids will overextend, and then their heel drives into the floor, and then the front of their foot, boom, goes in, and then their knee has to kind of go over their toe, and then they can push forward. And then you got the kid next to them who's, you watch them run, it's like, boy, they're driving their knee, they're hitting on the ball of their foot, their heels off the ground, boom, and they're exploding into their next step and their next step and their next step, and they're just burning rubber, hitting the gas. And you know, it, just like overextending on a step, for example, when a kid's trying to accelerate, you know, little things like that can go a long way from a skill standpoint, teaching a kid how to cross over, teaching a kid how to rip, make a rip move on a jab step. And, you know, they're trying to go fast, but it's like, well, your heel hit the floor and that straightened your knee out, which pushed your hip back up. And so now you're basically like standing, trying to go by somebody. Well, the defender's lower than you. They push you out. You're not in a position to accelerate. And now you just got bumped off your drive and didn't go anywhere. It's not because you're not athletic or capable enough to get by that defender. It's just the movement mechanics were wrong on starting with like how your feet hit the floor, where's your knee at, and being able to get low and be explosive. Little things like that I notice all the time. And that's one of the things that I'm passionate about in teaching, is just like different types of footwork, how kids can stop better, decelerate better, change direction better, things like that. Do you have like any quick tips for athletes, whether that's to change direction more effectively, to start to stop more effectively?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot to do. Like you hit it on the head with the footwork. I think, you know, as we get quick with our feet, you know, and land softly, right? We always talked about when I was playing basketball, you know, land soft. We don't want to hear yourself right. Land, you know, if it's jumping, so on and so forth. And I think that speaks volumes and how quickly we can pick one foot up and then accelerate to a different position. You talk about a crossover or blowing past the guy to get to the lane. You know, if we're not quick on our feet and we're sluggish and we're pounding our feet onto the surface, you know, we're going to lose that energy. And, you know, that's when that defender can catch up, and then we're, you know, right back to square one where we have to give the ball up, you know, and go where we want to go. Obviously our players as athletes, we want to score. We want to, you know, make these plays, you know, we don't want to get stopped from the defender and have to give the ball up. So again, I think the big thing, the big tip is footwork. And especially when you talk about running, right? Looking at coordination, I think that's a big thing, right? As we develop and we get older, you know, coordination gets better, motor control gets better, so on and so forth. But if we can, again, like I talked about stressing it at a young age, you know, we're going to be able to move better. We're going to be able to accelerate and decelerate faster, right? Our footwork's going to be better. So, you know, as far as tips and exercises and things to do, it's, you know, it's sports specific, you know, working on things in the gym, but also, you know, I see it a lot, you know, people doing, you know, ladder drills. I mean, getting your footwork faster, landing soft, right? Not hitting that ladder as you go left and right through it, you know? So, I mean, I think it's a variety of different things, but I think when it comes down to it, if our feet land soft or we're quiet feet, you know, I think that, you know, speaks volumes to how our whole lower extremity can control itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great stuff. And as you know, you mentioned about the feet and some of the things that we're going to dig into next, I just can't emphasize enough, just evaluating your kids. As you mentioned earlier, everything is specific. What works for one kid, you know, maybe a completely different issue that another athlete has. and you kind of work your way through the players on your team, which is huge. Let's talk about your injury, Coach, because this was a truly basketball related injury. And if we have time, we'll dig into mine as well. But tell us how you hurt yourself. Obviously, it's a common basketball injury and really what many players called a career ender. I don't know, even 10, 15 years ago has been something that athletes have now been able to bounce back from. So tell us about your injury, how you did it, what happened, and now what have some of those corrective measures and some of the rehabilitation look like?
Yeah. So, going back to it, I ended up tearing my right Achilles in late April. I was in my second week, a buddy texted me, "Hey, let's go to a church league and play some basketball, just pick up games, not super high competition, but a bunch of guys getting together, breaking a sweat, getting some exercise in." We were probably about three or four games in, nothing real crazy. Caught the ball on the right wing and had my back leg planted, pushed off, the lane was open. And, it was, I've never had a true injury like this. People say it feels like a gunshot. It was a gunshot. And, as I pushed off, another thing that it kind of felt like is someone threw a basketball and it grazed the back of my leg. And I remember laying on the floor, looking around. I'm like, where's that basketball at? Where is it at? I go up to stand up and, it just felt weird. I've had multiple ankle sprains and things like that. And like I said, with my knee injury, like I knew what a sprain, a strained muscle felt like, this felt different. And, I felt a pop, started to walk again. Just couldn't really push off of my forefoot at all. And, it was concerning. I could walk, and then, next day I'm, me being a PT, I'm assessing myself, all these things. And, I knew something was bad. I just didn't want to admit it. And, I think you were in the clinic too that day as well, or around that same time when I went and got an MRI and everything. And, there was a deficit or defect in my tendon. I could feel it. I knew exactly where it was at. Thankfully, I had a 2-millimeter complete tear of my Achilles. I ended up getting surgery May 11th. I was 2 weeks non-weight bearing, pretty much riding around a knee scooter for 2 weeks. Talk about demoralizing, talk about something that you can't do anything. You have to rely on everyone else for something, extremely eye-opening. I think it gives you a whole perspective about people coming out of joint replacements or, post-op surgeries, people getting hurt in athletics. It's, it makes you understand that you can't take things for granted and you gotta, treat your body right. And, here I am going 110% against, 30 and 40 year olds when, I didn't need to be, So, again, it, 2 weeks went by, finally got into walking boots, started to walk again. It was probably about 2 months till I got the boot off. And, at that time you really can't do much. I'm exercising a little bit. I was doing a stationary bike. I was doing isometrics through my ankle. I was trying to achieve as much range of motion that I could based on the protocol that my doctor provided with me. Being a PT, I look into a lot of stuff. I was looking at Ohio State's protocol. I was looking at all these other different ones, like how aggressive can I be? I want to get back there. I want to, get the running again. I want to play basketball. These are all things that, being in my 20s, I want to get back to doing, and I feel like I should be able to. Moving forward, I think there were steps in getting back to where I am now, as far as developing my calf strength, developing my flexibility through my ankle. One of the first big things was achieving about, half your body weight in a seated heel race. So, working on that soleus muscle, a bent knee position where you're elevating that heel, achieved that pretty early. I was pretty aggressive with that. I listened to my body. I knew when it needed to stop. And, but I felt like I got through that pretty quickly and was working on that even when I was still in my boot. I think the big thing too, when I got the boot off, is my walking mechanics were completely off. I probably limped for probably about a month until I felt like I could naturally walk with, good mechanics, good push off. I could feel my calf engage. And I think that really started that ballpark where I could be a little bit more aggressive with my therapy. I typically bike, 3 or 4 times a week stationary, just to get some range of motion through my ankle. I've been working on, you know, standing heel raises. I even do it out of deficit now with weight, where I'm trying to work that full range of motion. But I think the big thing when we talk about this Achilles injury is that end range plantar flex position, you know, and I think that's really, really important to develop that tendon strength. And, you know, there's different techniques that I'll do where I'll, you know, elevate my heel and I'll just kind of work in that end range position as well. I think another thing is proprioception and kinesthetic awareness, you know, balancing on one leg is important. You know, I stress this unilateral strength and I do it all the time. If it's not my shoulders, if it's, you know, my legs, you know, last night I was in my garage working on some stuff. I was doing some Bulgarian split squats, which I hate, but I know how good they are for me. Doing a little bit of that. And a variety of different things too. So, you know, the next big goal is to achieve that single leg heel raise. And, you know, for me, it's like, you know, if I'm not an athlete now, you know, I got different things going on in my life. You know, I'm, you know, hopefully going to be starting a family at some point in my life here in the next few years. You know, I want to be able to play with my kids, you know, and I think that's really crucial to me. So, you know, my rehab process is maybe a little slower than most, but you know, for me, it's about easing back into my activity. And, you know, my activity right now and hobbies I enjoy are, you know, resistance training, you know, playing some golf and biking. And I'm able to do all that stuff being, you know, 4 or 5 months post-op, which I think is very, very, very good. So, you know, for me, it's now it's getting single leg strength, developing a single leg heel raise and starting to work on some jumping, even though that may be scary for me, right? Pushing off that leg and having confidence with it. And, you know, when you look at an athlete having an injury, you know, if it's an Achilles injury, if it's an ankle sprain, if it's, you know, an ACL tear, right? How are we going to be able to develop that confidence? You know, are we going to be fearful when we get back into those activities and movements? So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at right now is, hey, I'm challenging myself to where I feel like I can. And then, you know, taking that next step over the next few weeks or that next month, you know, and I'm hopeful by the, you know, when I get back to around May that I feel 100% normal. I mean, you know, and again, you know, taking that perspective of, you know, being 4 or 5 months post-op, you know, I feel normal, you know, I can walk, you know, without, okay, hey, if I, you know, step off the curb a wrong way, or if I plan a different way, like my leg's not going to bug me anymore. You know, there are days where, you know, I'm on my feet a little bit more at work or, you know, doing different activities, you know, over the weekends where it does swell up a little bit, but you know, for me, it resolves quickly. And, you know, I don't let that hinder my day in and day out activities. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, but.
No, yep. This is great. I appreciate you giving all the different examples of some of the exercises that you've been doing. I mean, these would be great exercises for anyone to do, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think when you talk about, you know, I'm not a huge isolator, but you know, when it talks about, especially basketball, you see it a lot. I mean, you saw Kobe when he tore his, I mean, you know, if we can develop that calf strength, that ankle flexibility, right. You know, with that soleus or the gastroc and building that talocrural joint mobility up so that it can bend a little bit more efficiently, you know, as we push off in a weird split stance position where I got hurt and typically where you see people tear this Achilles, you know, you're going to be better off. You're going to be able to adapt and, you know, accommodate that stress for sure.
Mm-hmm. That was one thing that when you guys were working on me that I couldn't believe myself, you know, we're working on the calf, which is where, you know, I felt like a little bit of a pop and that strain, that little tear in there. But when you went down to my ankle and how little range of motion I had in my ankle, I was like, holy smokes. Like I didn't even realize how little range of motion I had in my ankle. Was pretty crazy. Tell us a little bit about, you know, my injury and some of the things that we did to try to heal up there. I think that for so many athletes, I mean, we mentioned Achilles. I do think it's not funny. It's never funny when somebody gets hurt. But here I go into physical therapy. I've been there for like 2 weeks. And then the next thing I know, the man working on me is like, yeah, I was playing basketball and I really messed my leg. I think I need to go check it out. And then sure enough, the next week that I came in, you're like, yeah, I tore my Achilles. I was like, playing basketball. This is interesting timing.
Yeah. It's super ironic. And, you know, again, it puts me in my patient's shoes. So it gives me that perspective, you know, after that injury, I mean, I've changed my motive, how I talk to my patients, especially because, You know, it changes how you think and how you treat patients that are in pain, you know, or are skeptical about having an injury or dealing with an injury. You know, I think some of the big things with you, I mean, with what we do at PAR is taking a look at that full body, right? You know, we have that issue, that pain in the calf, but why is it painful? What's going on, right? You know, I think we took a look at, you know, not only your lower back, your hip mobility. We took a look at your ankle mobility, right? How can we make that a little bit more free, right? How can we get these degrees of freedom and work these different planes of movement so that, hey, as I'm, you know, for you especially, was I want my body feeling good during my summer camps. And that was always the end goal for me, is like, what can I do? What exercises, what routine? How can I get that body manually, you know, in a better position so that you feel comfortable? And I think, again, you know, for you, it was really cool because, again, you wanted to put the work in. You know, a lot of the times, you know, we may not have patients that are compliant all the time, but, you know, when I have a patient that's super compliant, super adamant about it, it was fun. You know, it makes my job easier when my patients listen and trust me. And I think you took, you know, full trust in allowing me to help you through this rehab, this injury, and, you know, hopefully for any other injury moving forward. You know, but again, I think, you know, we talked about a variety of different things, you know, developing that unilateral strength, working that eccentric control was important, right? When we look at that dynamics of how maybe, you know, for me, how I tore my Achilles is you're in that elongated position, right? That tendon, that muscle was extremely strengthened and you are trying to push off quickly, you know? So that's how you have to challenge it. That's how you build that capacity through that tendon is building that eccentric control and building that single leg control, you know, when you're on unstable surfaces and things like that. And I know some of the exercises were difficult and they were fun to see you struggle on, but that's good. You know, if we're not changing and adapting, you know, and challenging ourselves, we are never going to get better. And that speaks for anything. That's not just physically, that's mentally, that's emotionally, that's occupationally, right? We have to keep on progressing. And it was fun to see you take on that challenge from the start of our treatment to the summer months where you felt great. Your body was in a greater, better position. You lost weight. You were feeling good, you know, and that for me is extremely rewarding. It's something that I'm extremely passionate about, you know, getting people back to whatever they want to do and feeling confident and motivated and dedicated to get to that point.
Yeah. I mean, I came in and, you know, I was actually went to the doctor, just like a checkup physical and stuff, and was going over some of my health history. And the doctor was like, you're going to be one of the worst people as you get older, because you've been so healthy for your whole life that when something goes wrong, you're not going to really know how to respond to it compared to somebody who may have had, you know, more, you know, health issues or injuries and things like that. And I've been pretty fortunate in both those categories. But to that point, I come from, I guess, like how I was brought up and still being a little more old school. And I do not think in this area, this is a positive thing, where it's like, if you get hurt, like, shrug it off, you'll be all right, give it some time, right? And that, and for the most part of my whole life, that's kind of been my philosophy. And for the most part, it's worked, because I haven't had a serious injury, right? It hurt, I give it some time, it gets better, and I'm up and running. Well, you know, injure my calf, slowly gets better, injured again. And I was just to the point where I was like, I got to eat some humble pie and just be like, it's just not getting better. I need to go see a professional. That's the only way it's going to get better. And it did. Otherwise I wouldn't be in the position that I am even now with, you know, how my leg feels. I had to bite the bullet and say, hey, you know better than I do, right? And, evaluate, assess, what do we think's going on here? And so to any of our coaches, if you have a hard-headed athlete like myself, sometimes it's important for you to like help the athlete because they're going to hurt themselves, right? I think there's probably at least an athlete like that or more on every single team who's probably hyper competitive. Maybe they don't want to miss anything, so there's something that's kind of nagging and bothering them that could turn into something worse, but they don't want to tell anybody. You need to nip that in the bud, right? And be able to put your foot down and say, hey, we need to go see a physical therapist. We need to do a screening, preferably for the whole team. But if you see that specifically with a player, do them a favor, right? And step in on their behalf, because for the most part, they're an athlete. They want to play. They may not even have told, you know, mom and dad, and they're probably only 16, 17, 18 years old, right? They're just a kid, right? So they need some adults with a little more maturity to step in and, you know, help them from an injury that they may have down the road. I think that that part is huge, which combines into the mental aspect of recovering and some of the emotional challenges that come with that. What have been some of those mental and emotional challenges for overcoming an injury for you? And what's some advice that we can give, you know, to athletes as they're trying to recover?
Yeah, I think the big thing is that, you know, there's always light at the end of the tunnel with having an injury. I think for me, it felt like when I was in my cast, you know, not weight bearing, like this was the longest 2 weeks of my life. You know, I wasn't able to indulge in the activities that I reduced stress throughout my life and allow me to, you know, feel good, you know, and get those feel good, those endorphins going. And, you know, I think for me, it's like, hey, every day is going to get better. I'm going to get 1% better each day, you know, and sticking and being consistent with my program, my understanding that, hey, the days that you don't want to do it, you still got to do it, because at the end of it, you're going to feel better. You're going to be able to get back to what you want to do. I think, you know, you got to trust yourself too. I think it's a big thing is trusting your body. You know, we understand that, you know, with everything going on with the injury, that you are athletic. You have been in this position. You may have been hurt before, but understanding that, you know, if you need some outside help, maybe that like what you received and, you know, other athletes may need to receive, you know, get that perspective, get another set of eyes on you. You know, it's never going to hurt, you know, and thankfully, you know, I have a lot of people at PAR that helped me. I saw a massage therapist as well. You know, I've trusted a lot of people for my recovery as well as taking it into my own. You know, being a therapist, you think, okay, I'm good. I know everything. I need to do everything. But, you know, at the end of the day is, you know, you need that team approach. You need to be able to trust, you know, your injury in someone else's hands and understand that, hey, you're going to be okay, because it may take a little bit of time, but you'll get back to where your normal life is your normal life. And, you know, again, maybe it took 2, 3, 4 months for me to feel that way, but, you know, I'm there. You know, yeah, do I have some ups and downs, you know, every so often? Sure. You know, but again, you can't let the bad days, you know, weigh you down from that end goal. And that end goal may be different for everyone. You know, my end goal for me is I want to be able to run with my kids when that day comes. You know, I want to be able to stay healthy and show them that, you know, exercise is important as you grow up, you know, and then if you were talking about athletics, you know, maybe it's a freshman that got hurt that, hey, you know, you still got 3, 4 more years of ball or whatever sport you're playing, you know, you can rebound from this. I, you know, speaking on the cross country runners is, you know, I had a guy came in with me and he was like, hey, I want to run in college. You know, I need you to get my body feeling better that it can. He came in the other day, PR, got first place, you know, had his best time his senior year, you know, and that just, again, you know, feels really good that, you know, someone trusted me that, hey, I'm trying to get your body better. I've seen this guy for about, you know, 6 months to a year, and he has done, you know, spectacular work outside of the clinic and even in the clinic, you know. So, you know, just be mindful that your body is going to respond. Things get better. You know, the human body is a crazy thing. And I think as we trust it, as we stress it in the right manner with professional and individual help, you know, that's where you're going to build that confidence. Okay. And you're going to understand that this injury isn't going to be something that lingers on. You know, you're going to be able to overcome it and, you know, get past it and get back to your prior level of function, but you need to be consistent. Consistency and discipline are the biggest things when we have an injury. And I cannot stress that enough.
I love that. The consistency, the discipline, combined with the support system that you talked about, because there are going to be those days where you're just like, I don't feel like doing this, or I don't feel like I'm getting better because of it. And having that support system, those other people around you to continue to encourage you, right, get you back into a better mental space to attack that day, whether it's trying to be able to do a single leg, you know, heel race or whatever it might be, right? Something that you took for granted a year ago, someone that can push you and challenge you and encourage you in those situations is absolutely huge. Before we get into our last one, you know, I just want to shout out Chris, the whole team at PAR. They've been awesome. You, obviously, Daniel, when he was there, you guys sponsored Cranberry Basketball this summer. We gave every athlete that we worked with in the Myrtle Beach area got a Cranberry Basketball PAR's on the back as one of our sponsors t-shirt, no charge. And so I just want to make sure, you know, I certainly appreciate you guys, not just for getting my body right, but supporting all the athletes that we work with locally. And last piece of advice, coach. Coach, I said myself, don't say coach. This is one of the few people on here. You're a coach, but it's different. Doctor, at least. Closing pieces of advice for coaches who are trying to get, you know, their players to perform their best and stay healthy.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, like we talked about, is screening our athletes early and often, you know, understanding how they're moving and how we can help. You know, I think always, you know, again, seeking guidance, you know, if it's talking to a local therapist, if it's talking to an athletic trainer or strength conditioning coach, right, get them on the right program early. And that's before the season starts, you know, get a game plan. You know, this can be things that you implement during or after practice, you know, understand that nutrition and sleep are very, very vital in how our body and our muscles respond. You know, hydration is very, very crucial, you know. You know, talk with these parents, talk with, you know, your players, you know, understand what's going on in their lives too. Again, at the end of the day, you know, sports are supposed to be fun. You're supposed to have a good time and no one wants to be injured while we're doing it. So, you know, taking the right guidelines, you know, making sure that we're exercising, we're taking time to develop that mobility and those restrictions and those weaknesses that we have, you know, being consistent, like we've been talking about, you know, during, afterwards, you know, even before the season, you know, to really implement these changes. And, you know, you're going to see that with your athletes and how they perform, how your team overall performs, and there's just the recovery of it, you know? So again, you know, I would love to see more coaches at a young age, you know, work with these young athletes and having them provide different movement patterns that are more efficient, you know, screening these athletes. Okay. And then seeking guidance, you know, go to your local PT, you know, talk with them, you know, some are going to help out better than others, but find the right one, you know, and again, these conversations, these different perspectives on your athletes can speak volumes and allow them to, you know, perform at their highest ability without getting injured. So, you know, at the end of it all, you know, big thing is, you know, listen, watch your players, you know, and understand that, you know, we want them to stay on the court.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing I wanted to add with everything you mentioned, which was awesome, the screening, the nutrition, recovery, hydration. We took a poll with a bunch of our Coaches Edge.coach members, and a lot of them talked about how they shorten practice as the season goes on, right? Which, you know, makes sense, right? It's a long season. So a lot of them, the majority of our coaches in our membership start the season with 2-hour practices, and the majority of them finish the season with an hour and a half. And I think there's a lot of benefits to that, but hearing you speak, I just wonder if, hey, well, there's a half hour that you've cut out. What if for a few of those minutes, right, you went to the weight room, you know, before or after the practice, what if you use some of that time that you've cut out and inserted some of the exercises and some of the take some time for a screen, right, to bring somebody in beginning of the season, midway through the season, towards the end of the season before, you know, the state tournament starts, to do some of these things. I think that would really be worthwhile, because a lot of our coaches, as the season goes along, they do shorten their practices. Why not bring in someone to come in, talk to the team, like go over some of the things that you've shared in this podcast, so that you can not only have a good start to the season, but finish the season on a high note by keeping your players healthy and performing better. I think that would be awesome. With that in mind, coach, I mean, some people, maybe they want to reach out to you. Tell us a little bit about where we can learn more about you, PAR, learn more about, you know, any exercises. You got a great Instagram page.
I mean, so, you know, I post a variety of different exercises, and, you know, some are sports related, some are just for, you know, overall, you know, wellness, things like that. My handle on Instagram is Dr. Brandon Bensing, no spaces. You guys can give me a follow after the podcast, things like that. If you all want to message me, things like that, I'm very active on it. I post daily. You know, I like engaging with other people and networking. You know, being on the podcast has been great for me, and, you know, it's been great to network with you as well. And, you know, I think that really helps out. You know, with PAR Physical Therapy, we're located in Surfside, South Carolina, right in Carolina Fitness 544. We sublease out of there, and we're looking to expand at some point. And I think it's going to be really beneficial to kind of see our growth as well. You know, again, you know, at the end of the day, when we talk about coaches and things like this, you talked about the volume at which we're practicing and things like that. You know, it's been kind of an interesting topic, because I've had some, you know, parents from Carolina Forest come up to me and ask for our guidance of, you know, hey, can you come in and can you come to the event and, you know, screen our athletes and work on them during. And so, you know, might be an avenue that, you know, maybe we talk about and work on. You know, I think it's going to be beneficial to, like I said, get that perspective. You know, that basketball route, I know that rehab route, you know, how can we mesh it? How can we bridge that gap so that, you know, our athletes are, you know, maximizing where they're at, you know? So I think that's the big thing too, moving forward. But like I said, my messages are always open. I'm always willing to talk and bounce ideas off people and give insight and things like that. And it's what I love and what I like doing it. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate you taking the evening and sharing your expertise with us tonight, as well as some injury on your part and my part. I think this has been really beneficial for all of our listeners who have taken the time. And to our listeners, appreciate you. Thanks for checking out the Coach's Edge podcast, especially if you're new. You know, subscribe, rate, review, all that fun stuff. Reach out to me, contact@currentbasketball.com. If you have any questions, thanks for listening. Brandon, can't thank you enough. Get after it today.
All right. Thank you.